This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. With a big race comes polling data, and the early information is now in. Boston City Councilor Michelle Wu leads Acting Mayor Kim Janey in the Boston's mayor's race by just one percentage point, with nearly half the electorate still undecided. The poll, which was conducted by the Mass Inc. polling group for WBUR, the Dorchester Reporter, and the Boston Foundation, also found that the big top-of-mind issues for Boston voters right now are COVID-19 and housing. Now listen, the preliminary election isn't until September, but the data hint at how the race could take shape. So joining us is Bill Forey, editor and publisher of the Dorchester Reporter. Hey, Bill, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So I confess, I just love polls. I think this kind of data is so interesting early on. So give us the headlines here, Bill.
Okay, yeah, I get excited about these two, especially when we're involved and we can work with you at WBUR. And a big shout to Boston Foundation for making this happen. The big headline here is that, as you said, almost half of the city still doesn't have a candidate. So that's the good news for everybody in who are candidates in this poll, right? The really good news is for Michelle Wu and Kim Janey. So Michelle Wu, it's always great to be at the top of that leaderboard right off the bat, right? Almost 20% of voters indicating they might vote for you. But the real, I think the real headline here is that Acting Mayor Kim Janey, 1 week after announcing that she's actually going to be a candidate officially, is already kind of right at the top herself. And that's a big indicator of the power of the mayor's office, right? Even though she's not technically an elected incumbent mayor, she has the trappings of office. She has the power of the mayor's office, obviously, at her disposal. And that shows up big time in this new poll.
Yeah, and you know, to that point, with that just 1% lead, which is within the margin of error, one of our producers, Walt Withman, was saying earlier today, you know, Michelle Wu entered this race back in September 2020, full court press since then, leading on issues like the T. She got recognized in The Atlantic, and all of that for one percentage point over somebody who just joined the race a week ago. You know, are we going to continue to see the power of the acting bully pulpit play this kind of role in the race?
I think so. I mean, look, Acting Mayor Janey has just rolled out a $3.775 billion budget, which she and her team will shepherd through the process. All kinds of items in there that are, you know, essentially budget goodies for the city, for different constituencies. There's new building projects that started under Mayor Walsh that she'll, you know, be cutting the ribbon on over the next few months. She's going to be in the news cycle in a way that the other candidates can only hope to be, right? And maybe that will change, but the likelihood is that the power of that seat and the news cycle works to her advantage. She should continue to see, certainly her name recognition continue to grow as she becomes, you know, she is the dominant political force in the city at the moment. And it's really going to be a challenge for the other five candidates who are presently in this race to get that sort of attention, to speak to those 46% of voters thereabouts who haven't made up their mind. But listen, you know, they still are out there. Almost half the city doesn't have a candidate. And that's a big takeaway from this poll as well.
Yes, so WBUR's Callum Borchers was out gathering some reaction on this. Name recognition really did sort of come up and come into play. Here's a constituent, 62-year-old Joel Tillinghast, and he told Callum that he is supporting Wu right now because she's the one he knows. Here he is.
It's mostly just name recognition. I got some kind of a flyer dropped off at my house.
So to that point, Bill, to your point, what do campaign teams take from this data? You know, what are the strategy sessions going on today, tomorrow, focusing on, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to obviously look at this polling data, and I'm sure some of them have their own polling data that might be similar or close to it. I think they're going to drill into these issues that we talked about, and you mentioned at the top of the show, you know, coronavirus continuing to be the dominant concern of voters right now, but dwindling a bit since the last polling was done last fall. It's now at 27%. It was at 39. So easing on that score. And housing costs have become increasingly a concern as people now in April 2021 are looking ahead and thinking about affordability issues and displacement, things like that. Much more about that in other parts of the poll that haven't been reported yet. But I think the campaigns certainly are looking at those and figuring out what's their strategy for speaking to that undecided, that huge undecided block of voters.
Yeah, to your point, here's 26-year-old Jeffrey Navarro. He spoke with WBUR's Callum Borchers. He's intrigued by Acting Mayor Kim Janey's idea of the mixed income housing, which she mentioned in her campaign kickoff last week. Here he is.
If you live in the projects and all of your neighbors have low income jobs, just your reality or view of reality is limited. But when you lived in a mixed income, now your neighbor is a doctor or a lawyer. Now your aspirations change.
So it just really underscores that the issues sort of at stake in this race, Bill, are real for people. You know, people are paying attention. The issues are real. What else do you anticipate is going to crop up as awareness increases and people start paying closer attention to the race?
Well, again, it comes back, I think, to the dynamic of having Acting Mayor Kim Janey now as a candidate, right? So she's obviously going to get a lot of those benefits, the media attention, you know, being able to roll out big programs like the $50 million fund to aid tenants who are facing eviction. That's federal money, but her administration will administer it. But the flip side of that is she also has some tough calls to make with the Boston Police Department in particular, with the leadership crisis there at the top. You know, the news story that came out of the Boston Globe this weekend dealing with Patrick Rose, and that's all on her plate too. So she's got to take the good with the bad, and it'll be a test of her leadership skill and her political acumen to see how well she can use it. You know, I would say most of the candidates would love to be in her seat right now. But there is, you know, there is that dilemma of having to deliver, and you're going to make a certain amount of enemies along with a certain amount of friends in that seat.
Yeah, I do want to note later in the hour, we're going to actually have a call-in discussion about some of those policing issues. You're underscoring this power of incumbency again. I understand you spoke with Labor Secretary Walsh this week, former Mayor Walsh. How different would the race be if he were still in it, Bill?
Well, first of all, I think the field would look very different. We wouldn't have Councillor Anissa Asabi-George in the race, who's been quite allied with Secretary Walsh over the years.
That's going to happen.
I don't think we would have John Barros, and probably wouldn't have Representative Santiago in the race. So I think it would be a smaller field. This poll shows that Secretary Walsh has a very strong favorability rating, 59%. Of the voters polled here said that they, you know, have a favorable view of him. That's a little lower than I expected, honestly. And so I think it would have been a very competitive race. He wouldn't have been a sure thing, but he certainly would have been the favorite. But it isn't that race, right? This is a whole new crop of candidates and a very different dynamic with now Kim Janey in the race.
You know, I read your interview with him. It was quite reflective. Did he surprise you with anything?
I thought he was more reflective than he's been to date. You know, this was his first one-on-one interview with Boston Press. And, you know, I asked him what was left on the table that he, you know, kind of regretted not getting done yet. And he said procurement, you know, the issue of the disparity that exists, really the flagrant disparity when it comes to women and minority-owned business getting city contracts. It's clearly something that he's aware of. Isn't, you know, it's not just on him, but it certainly was on his watch too. And I think he does feel that was something he would have tried to do better on had he run for a third term. I think he's aware too that it was a big exposure for him and his team as well. But plenty of good things he could talk about, and he did in this piece. And you know, a bit of a victory lap there as well.
In, you know, a sentence or so, Bill, what are you watching for him in his role in D.C.?
I'm watching for him to do what I think he really likes doing best, which is campaigning and taking the message of the Biden team, especially the American Jobs Act that he's been charged with selling, essentially. As the country opens up more and more, I think you're going to see him traveling, doing those things in person, doing the kind of retail politics that Joe Biden's well known for as well, and Kamala Harris. Marty Walsh loves that stuff. He's a politician at heart. I think you'll see him out on the stump quite a bit. And I think that's where he can be useful for this administration.
All right. Bill Forey, editor and publisher of the Dorchester Reporter. Great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you so much for having me, Tatiana.
And listeners, we at WBUR are following the mayor's race closely. The key issues throughout the year, you can continue to tune into us for news and information on that.